I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and this is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news, features, and opinion from ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut. For listeners who rebroadcast ARRL Audio News on repeaters, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to momentarily stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and these are our top stories for Friday, January 19th. Carla Pereira is on assignment. ARRL's Chief Executive Officer for the last 2 years, Tom Gallagher, NY2RF, announced his retirement as CEO as the ARRL Board of Directors prepared to meet January 19th through 20th. He will step down on March 2nd. Gallagher, who had earlier advised ARRL President Rick Roderick, K5UR, of his intention to resign, expressed his gratitude to Roderick and the ARRL board for giving him the opportunity to help guide the organization. Gallagher, 69, cited recent changes included in the new federal tax law that made it unattractive for him to continue working in Connecticut, where ARRL is headquartered. Among Gallagher's chief accomplishments during his tenure as CEO were creating an enhanced level of professionalism and efficiency in the organization that represents more than 150,000 U.S. amateur radio operators. Gallagher also oversaw a significant turnaround in the organization's financial performance. Uncharacteristically cold weather in central Florida in early January prompted members of the North Brevard Amateur Radio Club to assist the area's homeless. The new year began with a bitter cold front descending on the area, bringing below-freezing temperatures. Club members Ricky DeLuco, K4JTT, Robert Ortiz, KJ4VEH, William Kozlowski, K4SVT, and Michael Ellickson, KE4MWZ, set out in their own vehicles searching the city of Titusville for homeless residents. For the next 2 evenings and using amateur radio as communications, the group worked in the cold, wet weather for more than 12 hours, logging some 120 miles on the roads around Titusville. The ham radio group alerted local law enforcement so that they were aware of the effort and in the hope that on-duty officers might also reach out. The group was able to locate 5 homeless individuals on its first evening tour of the town and provide them with transportation out of the cold. Local police also contacted the amateur radio team to provide transportation for other homeless individuals located by on-duty officers. A November 2017 Department of Defense-sponsored communications interoperability exercise in Volmec Amateur Radio was very successful, according to information received from U.S. Army Military Auxiliary Radio System Program Manager Paul English, WD8DBY. The November drill focused on interoperability between the Department of Defense elements, including MARS, other federal agencies, and the amateur radio community. The scenario involved a massive coronal mass ejection event that impacted the national power grid as well as all forms of traditional communication, including landline telephone, cell phone, satellite, and internet connectivity. Army and Air Force MARS organizations worked in conjunction with the amateur radio community, primarily on the 60-meter interoperability channels, as well as on HF-NVIS frequencies and local VHF and UHF repeaters. The amateur radio portion of the exercise kicked off with a high-power information broadcast on 60-meter channel 1, which is 5.330.5 megahertz, from a military station on the East Coast and the Fort Huacha HF Gateway Station in Arizona. The high-power broadcast provided basic exercise information and requested that amateur stations make contact with MARS stations on 60 meters and provide county-by-county status reports in order to maintain situational awareness and to determine the extent of the impact. Radio amateurs were also given the opportunity to submit reception reports and receive QSL cards. New for this exercise, planners divided the continental U.S. geographically and assigned each region to one 60-meter channel in order to make more efficient use of all 5 channels. Planners roughly divided the U.S. into Northeast, Southeast, Northwest, Southwest, and Central regions. Also for this exercise, military planners incorporated a daytime informational broadcast on 13.483.5 megahertz. The purpose of that broadcast was to extend the exercise outreach to the amateur community and also to provide exercise updates. English said that 733 broadcast reception reports were received. 494 of those, or 67%, were from the 60-meter broadcast, while the remaining 244 reports were for the 13 megahertz broadcast. Nearly 2,000 amateur radio stations took part in the exercise, submitting 3,025 county status reports. Nearly 1,300 of those were unique. The theme for Hamvention 2018 is Amateur Radio Serving the Community. Ron Kramer, KD8ENJ, Hamvention General Chairman, said the theme acknowledges the role that ham radio operators play in their communities, especially in times of emergencies. Hamvention is planning to have forums on emergency communication and displays of amateur radio emergency communications vehicles. Kramer thanked the many hams who actively volunteer with community groups and thanked the public and organizers for their support of amateur radio. Hamvention 2018 will take place May 18th through 20th at the Greene County Fairgrounds and Expo Center in Xenia, Ohio. Hardware for a permanent whisper beacon system in the Antarctic is currently on its way. The installation, a joint project of the Technical University of Munich, the University of Bremen, and the Deutsche Amateur Radio Club, consists of 5-watt beacon transmitters for 160 through 6 meters and a multiband whisper receiver that will simultaneously monitor all bands from 160 to 15 meters and post up to 700 reports per hour to WhisperNet. Commissioning of the system at the German Neumayer 3 research station is planned for mid-January. In related news, DP0GVN will be the call sign for Matthias Masch, DH5CW, who will be active at the Neumayer 3 research station for 1 year, and he plans to be active on HF. For the past year, he has been using DH5CW from the German Antarctic base. And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
There was a point in time when many hams wanted FM satellites. Maybe that is still true today. We now have an overabundance of FM satellites. There's SO50, AO85, IO86, AO91, and LILAC-SAT-2. AO92 and PICSAT are going through commissioning right now and will be available soon. The LILAC-SAT-2 transponder is sporadic, and IO86 is in an equatorial orbit with activation by schedule. The satellites that will be most used are SO50, AO85, AO91, and after commissioning, AO92 and PICSAT. Then, September 1st, AMSAT will have FOX 1C launching. This will put yet another FM satellite in orbit. The Chinese will have an FM satellite launching as we go to press with this story. It is called Chao En Lai, named after the former premier of the People's Republic of China from 1949 until 1976. As I mentioned at the beginning, if FM is your thing, there are plenty of satellites to choose. Most can be worked with an HT and a handheld beam. The command stations just tested AO92 with an HT and rubber duck inside a house. There was no competition for capturing the satellite, as they were the only two stations using it. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and I'm speaking with Joe Karsha, NJ1Q. He's the station manager of W1AW, the amateur radio station across the parking lot here at ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut. And Joe, can you give listeners just a rough idea of what the heck you do over there?
It all depends on who you ask. At W1AW, our first and foremost mission is the transmission of code practice and bulletins. We do that on 7 amateur frequencies, as well, HF amateur frequencies, as well as 6 and 2 meters. We also provide at least 8 operating positions for visiting hams to come in. Visiting hams can operate on those bands and modes granted by the license class. However, they would only use W1AW. They would not affix their calls or ring with the calls or anything like that. And that rule even applies to staff. As manager and trustee, you would not see me using my personal call at W1AW.
Uh-huh.
And that's because we are the memorial station in honor of our founder and first president, Hiram Percy Maxim, W1AW. As many visitors come to the station, they know they have a lot of fun. They can get on the air. They generate pileups. But we also have a few other things going on at the station. One is that we are now active on 6 meters. We are transmitting all of our code practice and bulletins, in addition to the HF, on 50.350 megahertz. We started that this year. We're also going to be operating in the winter field day for the first time, and that occurs near the end of this month.
Is that a club operating during the winter field day?
Correct. We have members from the Warren Amateur Radio Club. They're from New York that are going to be coming on that weekend. Hopefully they'll have at least 12 operators with them, and they're going to operate on the regular frequencies that you'd normally find people operating on winter field day, and it will be just using W1AW.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Joe.
You're welcome. Welcome. Thank you very much.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL propagation forecast for Friday, January the 19th. A single tiny sunspot is all we have to look at today. It's yet another one of those weak sunspots that appear and then disappear with no impact on propagation. On the other hand, there is a hole in the sun's atmosphere, and it's facing our way and spewing out a stream of solar particles. You can expect this blast of solar wind to arrive this weekend and cause some disruption to the higher HF bands. On VHF and UHF, most of the action appears to be taking place in the upper Midwest, with some band openings also occurring in West Texas.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.